Today, customer service teams have to do more with less. More work, less team. More expectation, less budget. But AI is changing everything. Intercom's new AI-first platform upgrades support for everyone. Customers get more answers, less waiting. Agents get more interesting work, less busy work. And leaders get more efficient teams on less additional headcount. So if you want less of this, it's time to get more out of your support platform. Intercom, AI-first customer service.
You know, I'm all over social media. There's nothing inherently horrible in it unless I'm trying to meet my need for belonging there.
You know, we're wired for authentic relationships with other people and with God. Dr. Kathy Cook explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
The need for belonging is legitimate, and it's going to be met with true accountability, responsibility, intimacy, knowing each other, sharing values, sharing ideas, hanging out, iron sharpening iron. You know, I obviously love that verse. Social media is an add-on to that. And I think one of the reasons that it can create a loneliness is we can fake it to make it there. And so we flip our identity in different groups, and we flip our identity when we're posting about different things. And we see inconsistency in people. They're desperately trying to fit in and figure it out. And it breaks you because you can't be all things to all people in that way, nor should you try to be.
Social media can be a great way to keep in touch, but don't let it become a replacement for real connections. More from Dr. Kathy at FamilyMinute.org.
KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway.
K29CR, Encinitas.
FM 106.1 North County and AM 1210, San Diego.
Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Hello, everybody. It's another good edition of Biblical Citizenship Alive here. We've got a fascinating guest coming to us from outside of California, which I'll be introducing you to in a few minutes. My co-host, Kelly Hansen's away for today, and she'll be joining us on another broadcast soon. We miss her, and she always adds a lot of good questions and comments. So today we're less than about 6 weeks away from ballot drops here in California, so things are ramping up in terms of people realizing that, you know, probably the most critical election in our lifetime is upon us. And it's going to be important that everybody listening today takes that very seriously. For the Christians listening today, shrinking from your responsibility as a Christian in the area of government is really nothing we want to applaud. We actually, get a lot of teaching on family and church history and Old Testament, New Testament. But we need to understand the Bible talks a lot about the role that we have and the needs that we have in terms of making sure those who govern over us embrace biblical values. You know, we're a country that started, on the basis of biblical values. Lee Greenwood put out a phenomenal Bible here a few years ago that actually has various historical pages inserted within the scripture pointing to how our country, our founding fathers, looked to biblical values and principles in the development of our Constitution. And as a result, we have a nation that has been founded on biblical principles, hence biblical citizenship. But we're also a nation that has lost vision of what those original principles are. So today we have an election coming up between two very distinctive bodies. And if you read the Democratic platform versus the Republican platform, you can easily see that views on the sanctity of life or lack of sanctity of life, on taxation, on totalitarianism, and on government intervention and whatnot are very distinctively different and clear. I was a delegate to the Republican convention, an alternate, this year, and it was something kind of a bucket list thing I wanted to do since I was in eighth grade. And, you know, really had a chance to see and meet a lot of Christians in Milwaukee. There were 50,000 people at the convention, 5,000 delegates, and it was encouraging to hear Bible verses from, you know, they had about 150 speakers. They ran those speakers through in those 4 days. I think with a few exceptions, people got about 5 minutes, but they got up, and a number of them, I mean, the convention opened up with great prayer. Franklin Graham prayed. The music was excellent, but people like the House Speaker Mike Johnson quoted scripture at that convention. It was really phenomenal. And, you know, while I also watched the opposing Democratic convention, I can't recall a single verse of scripture being used in Chicago. And that's because they really don't have any biblical values. So for Christians to realize that we're at a turning point in this country, that clearly it becomes a choice between Marxism and capitalism and Christianity. And when you think about that, I always encourage folks at our PAC lunches that we have for Save America Now that they need to look at the underlying platforms and the underlying principles, but to think about their children, to think about their grandchildren and what is so critical to the future of their lives. Will they have the kind of freedom? Will they have the kind of religious liberty in their lives that we've enjoyed? I mentioned in an earlier program about visiting and watching the Reagan movie. Highly encourage folks to do that. But Reagan was at a turning point in the elections there 40 years ago with Carter and Mondale, in which he had a big task. He was a great communicator. He was able to reason and communicate to people about what was right and wrong, and it took a lot out of him. But, you know, the training he got in his acting career and whatnot was really valuable to helping convince folks in the United States and convince Gorbachev to tear down that wall. And Gorbachev retired when the Soviet bloc countries literally gave up communism and Soviet control. Some of that, of course, has not held on. They didn't do the greatest job of converting communist countries into capitalistic free enterprise countries. And to some extent, they're paying a price for that. But nevertheless, that's going to be important. You know, we're facing candidates today that we're going to be talking to a political candidate for Congress out of the state of Arizona here in a few minutes. And, somebody who has the kind of principles that we need, and the kind of principles, quite frankly, coming from Arizona that Barry Goldwater in 1964 stood up for in those days. But, you know, you look at the presidential candidate and vice presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket are extremely pro-abortion, you know, right up to the time of birth, which is, you know, just the visual of that is really hard to believe. You know, I have children and grandchildren. Just can't imagine. And, of course, denying that God created these in his own spirit. So Kamala likes to talk about her values. Well, you know, those are the kind of values we don't need in Washington. Those are the kind of values we don't need in Sacramento. We need to return this country to its roots as a nation that honored God, honored free enterprise, honored capitalism, honored religious liberty. And accordingly, we need to have our churches lead from the pulpit to make certain that we're really moving this country back in the right direction. Jeff Zink, our guest today on Biblical Citizenship Alive. And Jeff, you and I have gotten to know each other through some of the PAC activities. And right now, you are running for Congress in Arizona. Can you tell us a little bit about your congressional district? And then I want, on the other side of that, I want to hear really about your background and why you're doing this. But tell us first about your, you know, the audience we have here in California. Of course, is pretty familiar with Arizona and whatnot. But for the most part, they tend to listen to folks from California. So you're kind of a unique guest from to the east of us in Arizona. So tell us about your congressional district.
Oh, absolutely. So my and thank you, Steve, for having me on your show. I really appreciate the fact that you're, you know, extending from California to Arizona, and letting people understand what's going on and how important my congressional race is. So Congressional District 3 is made up of 64% Latino, 21% white or Caucasian, or 8% Black, and then 2% Asian and 2% Native American. And in that, one thing that I have noticed more than anything else is that the whole, whether they're Democrat, whether they're Republican, independent, with the amount of people that are Catholic Christian is an extremely high rate. And because of that, they are interested in conservative ideas. The problem is that great-grandma was a Democrat, grandma was a Democrat, mom was a Democrat, so I'm a Democrat. And what they're finding out is that when they look at America First and are saying that, oh, my gosh, you know what, I am not wanting money to be spent over to Ukraine. I want America First. I want children to be taken care of and not exploited. They don't want little boys in little girls' bathrooms, that they don't want transgender children crossing over where a little boy is now a girl and a girl is a boy. None of that fits the Catholic Christian faith. And so what's really happening in my congressional district, which was a plus 55 Democratic stronghold, just 2 weeks ago they released the numbers, and it's a plus 24 and falling fast. And the number one reason that they're attributing it to is the fact that they are saying that because the Democratic Party were giving away free abortions and vasectomies at the event and was making that a big issue or a deal, that it went against the people and they were upset. And so therefore what's happening is that they are leaving the Democratic Party and they're literally saying that this is something that they cannot stand to have any longer. And so that's what's happening. They may not necessarily go Republican, but they are going independent, and they just can't continue with what the status quo is. So that's the makeup of the congressional and what is happening in my district and why it's so important that people now start finding people like myself as a pastor. I was in sports medicine for 38 years, 28 of those I was a pastor as well. And letting people know what's happening. This is something that people are now going, okay, we need to find people like you and start getting behind and endorsing and supporting and donating to the campaigns and stuff because of what is happening inside that district.
We're listening today to Jeff Zink, who is the Republican congressional candidate for District 3 in Arizona. And we're going to be talking about kind of his conviction, why he's doing this. Now, if I was at the Phoenix airport, just to get my bearings here, Jeff, where is your district in relation to the airport?
Well, it's actually in my congressional district. So Sky Harbor is in my congressional district, along with downtown Phoenix. It goes all the way out to portions of Avondale, comes all the way down to the Native American Reservation, and then goes down 202 South Mountain, Guadalupe, and then South Mountain area is all in my district. So it literally is, the heart of Phoenix proper is my congressional district.
Wow. Now, a lot of folks that fly out at the San Diego Lindbergh Airport change planes in Phoenix, and so probably half of the aviation folks that fly in San Diego have spent time in your congressional district. So they really need to listen to this. And so let's just talk a little bit about your background, Jeff. You have a pretty interesting background, talk to us a little about where you were born and some of you mentioned sports medicine and whatnot. Tell us about how what all you've done in life.
Okay. So one of the things that tie into my testimony and to why I'm running for Congress, I actually was an athlete. I was a three-sport athlete, track, basketball, and football in high school, and then college football. I was at Pano State University in 1981, where we ended up being in the national playoffs and losing in the championship game, and then went on to Texas Tech. And I suffered a life-threatening injury, and I, in rehabbing and doing the things that it goes that you go through with a neck injury and stuff, I became interested in sports medicine. So I went and got my kinesiology degree, and then went on to get my sports medicine degree as well, and was an athletic trainer and strength and conditioning specialist. And I was able to get on sports medicine teams that even worked with NFL athletes, with Dallas Cowboys, Atlanta Falcons, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and New Orleans Saints. And I just was very blessed. But with that, I was also able to, reach out to different churches and talk to them. But the one thing that was plaguing me this whole time, because of that injury, I was left with headaches, and I had headaches every day of my life.
Wow.
And about 11 years ago, I started having migraines so severe that I was not able to go outside in the sunlight. I wasn't able to concentrate. It became very, very hard for me to stay focused on anything. And I had almost 70 different neurologists that tried to figure out what was wrong, and they couldn't figure out what was happening. And I ended up becoming 100% disabled. From that, what happened was is that I spent 3 years living in a so 3 years from that, I stayed on the couch in bed and literally was able to just function enough, but everything was extremely tough at that point. So on December 24th of 2020, something different happened. God actually, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I prayed a different prayer. I said, Father, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do that, and I will be your faithful servant. Well, as somebody stands before you, so did God stand before me. And all of a sudden, he said, I was going to break your headaches, restore your health, and I'm going to send you to Congress to represent my people. Now, that was 4 years ago, and I did run for Congress there, but I wasn't ready, and God still was training me for what was happening now. And what has happened is that everything has completely changed in my district. And like I said, from a plus 55 to 24, and it's falling. And now it's becoming in my favor of literally being able to be somebody who can go against the Democratic Party. And the glory goes to God. because of that. So in essence, the reason why I did what I did was because of my injury, and the things that happened were all of the things that cultivated to this point right now. So on November 5th, when I'm elected as the new congressman in a district that has never had a Republican ever sit in that seat, the only person that can get the glory is God himself.
Well, that's just, that's really God honoring. And, he works in people's lives in amazing ways. And, you've shared some of the things that you've gone through. It was interesting. Recently, the Reagan movie came out. And not to spoil it too much, but it's a biopic, meaning it really is a historical movie on the life of Ronald Reagan, who lived into his 80s and 90s. But his early days, some of the challenges he had, but he had some very difficult times. And, of course, folks will remember that there was an assassination attempt 2 months after he was sworn into office somewhat similar to what President Trump went through. He ended up, with a bullet that just passed under his heart, and they got him to the hospital. And there's a scene in the movie of Nancy at the White House in the Secret Service telling her that the president's been shot and we want you to stay in the White House. And she said, there's no way that's going to happen. I'll walk if I have to. And, of course, they got her in the car. And the story has a great love affair between Nancy and Ronald Reagan. But she got to the hospital and got to him, and he was asking for her. When he came out of the surgery, he woke up and asked the surgeons if they were Republicans. it's interesting what God takes us through. So I'm very encouraged about the fact that you see, and truth percolates to the surface, and I think particularly the Hispanic community sees that the Democratic Party, which are advocates for abortion all the way up to the moment of birth, which is just pretty hard to believe that we have a presidential candidate who thinks it's just fine to murder a child that's just about ready to be born and doesn't have qualms with that. I mean, Jeff, how do you even fathom sitting in a room with somebody who thinks that's okay?
Well, the thing is that the person that I'm running against, Yasmin Asari, she is somebody that's a Democrat that believes in that very same thing and has no problem with it. And they wrap it into the form of women's health, and they call it a choice. My deal is that you can go as a female, you can go and you can have any type of procedure done that needs to be done, and they cannot deny you medical care because of our laws, and plus we have attorneys that will defend that person. Here's the other thing. What they call is a choice, I call a child. And the thing is that God, in Isaiah it says that I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you, and I knitted you together. The thing is that he takes the time to literally put together each individual in the mother's womb where nobody can see, except for now we have the technology that we can see this, and yet we still have the audacity to say that, no, I'm sorry, child doesn't have the constitutional right for life. See, that's the first thing that's said in with our Constitution is that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you don't have your first liberty, which is life, then the other liberties are not ever being attributed to, and you can never pursue your happiness, whatever that is, and what God has instilled in each individual. So the thing is that I sit down and I look at it, and I tell Congressional District 3 here in Arizona, you do have a very clear choice as to who you want for your congressman, because that individual will be able to choose either somebody who believes in death or believes in life, because that's exactly the dividing line between the two of us.
Well, and I just encourage you, Jeff, to, you know, the sanctity of life is one of the core principles of the Save America Now PAC. And you're going to be one of our speakers in next month in Southern California at one of our PAC lunches. And I encourage you to, you know, continue to stand up for that, as well as, you know, the religious liberty. And, you know, Arizona is kind of an interesting state, because back in the day, you know, I kind of got plugged in high school watching the and getting involved in the Barry Goldwater campaign. I used to have a button I wore in high school that said AUH2O. And that was a pretty clever button. I wore it proudly walking the halls of this small country high school in rural Indiana. And in those days, you could do that. And, you know, but Goldwater, you know, you didn't think of Arizona as being a liberal state. It was a hardcore conservative Republican state. And Barry Goldwater, who, of course, didn't win then, but was actually that election set up the opportunity for folks to see Ronald Reagan give the keynote address, the famous Rendezvous with Destiny address. But tell us a little bit about what's going on in Arizona. Now, you know, everybody pretty much knows California has severe issues, though if you look at a map, the interior of California and a fair amount of Orange County and the southern part of the state is quite red. But tell us about Arizona and what's going on there in terms of how it has not, it's not as red as it used to be.
Well, the thing is that it's 6-3 right now. We have nine congressional seats, and six of them are held by Republicans. We have, you know, David Swigert. We have Eli Crane. We have Juan Sisimani. We have Paul Gosar. We have Andy Biggs. And then we have Debbie Lesko. And then the other three are Democrats. And Ruben Gago is the one that I ran against and who now is running against Kerry Lake in the Senate, which has vacated this seat. And again, I'm not running against an incumbent, which makes my seat even more valuable, because now it's susceptible, because you know, you have a greater chance of losing against an incumbent than you do with somebody that is not. And so the thing is that all of this culminates, and you know, Kelly Cooper is running in a Democratic area. I'm running in a Democratic area, and then David Gutierrez. So the three of us actually are in areas that the because of the Christian Catholic Hispanic background, all of them are now turning away from the Democratic Party. So in all reality, we could go as red as 7-2 or even 8-1 after this election in November 5th. And so it's very vital that we sit down and do the things that it's going to take in order to get the word out. So it's really important that we focus on those three areas, because the other areas are heavily red, and they're mainly Republican. And so we're now knocking on the door, all because the Democratic Party has gone so left and have left the Democrats that's the reason why they can't, you know, move with them, and why they're now coming towards the Republican Party.
We're listening today to Jeff Zink, who is running for District 3 in central Arizona in the Phoenix area. And Jeff, tell us a little bit about your faith, in the sense that You mentioned you've been a pastor for quite a while, too.
Absolutely. And so one of the things is that being in with professional athletes and doing the things that it takes in the NFL, you have a lot of times to speak in FCA huddles, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So I was always asked to speak at these huddle groups and talk to different high schools and colleges and things. And so I would do that. And the thing is that when I was an athlete in high school, I taught junior high Sunday school. And then I taught in college. I was with the university ministry as a under-shepherd under Sam Goodman. And, you know, from that, I just transitioned to all of these different positions of leadership in the church. And so this is one of the things that I was a part of. And so I decided that I better start studying. And so as I started studying, I got my I became an ordained minister. And so by studying Greek and Hebrew and translating the Bible and going to these classes and stuff, I tore the Bible apart. And really, because I had at 13 a pastor that said, if you can find one verse that is wrong, then all of it's wrong. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to do any of this because all of it's, you know, just junk and stuff. And you don't do that to a scientific 13-year-old mind because that's what started this whole transition. And so as I went through college and learned chemistry and physics and all of the different biology the thing that really stood out for me for my own body was that each individual is different. And how are they different? Well, DNA. And so as I learned about the body and learned about how different things were going and put together, I learned that the Bible became an accurate historical document that even today we're finding out that there's small fractions of towns that we're finding exactly where the Bible said they were all along. And had we not had the Bible, we wouldn't have been able to find these areas. If the Bible wasn't done by God, then how is it that it's becoming more and more attributable to history and what's going on today? And so this is something that people need to look at. There's more evidence today that the Bible is true than there was years ago because of all of the evidence that's now being presented in science.
Well, and that's a very good point, that there's a lot of intra-biblical but also extra-biblical evidences of God. And, you know, I often think about just look up at the sky at night and look at the stars and you think of how, you know, massive the universe is and the distance those stars are from the Earth. And then you look at internally at the complexity of the human body and you just say, you know, God, the existence of God and the miracles and the things that he has done is without question pointing us to, you know, the Creator. And of course, the Scriptures are the great guide to salvation and understanding our purpose in life. So we're talking today with Jeff Zink. Jeff, where are you at the moment? Aren't you in kind of an interesting environment?
I am. I'm at the J.D. Vance event that we have here in Mesa, Arizona. And it's actually going on, so I had to step out into the hallway in order to have this. But, you know, Carrie Lake and Kelly Cooper and then J.D. Vance is going to be coming on here in about a few minutes. And, you know, the thing is that meeting good people here that just want their children to grow up in an America that I grew up 61 years ago when I came into this world and I was allowed to have freedoms. Well, children today that are born in America do not have the same freedoms that you and I had, you know, 70 years ago, 60 years ago. And we have to have godly men and women that now understand that and are going to fight to bring those freedoms back and give them back to their our grandchildren.
Well, and that's, you know, when you look at the United States, we're 4% of the population of the earth. There's 7-8 billion people. We're about 350 million. But we have done more to advance Christianity than any other nation. And largely that's because we've had religious freedom. But there's plenty of people that would love to shut that down. There would, when you look at folks like yourself and others, that they would love to just not have you speak out at all. And yet God's truth always percolates to the surface. And, you know, I find it interesting with some of the climate change people who think they can somehow control the climate of the earth through whatever their manipulation is. And, you know, God controls the climate of the earth. You know, California had great drought situations about 18 months ago. Now we have more water and we know what to do with. And it had nothing to do with it was really God bringing a tremendous amount of rain about a year and a half ago to California. So, you know, God understands and controls our environment, and he controls so many other aspects of our life. Now, when you get to Washington, I'll give you the famous question. What's the first thing you do on day one besides find your office?
On day one, I go down to the gulag. And I stand at the doorway, and I force the warden to allow me to be in. I'm not going to be like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm not going to be like Matt Gaetz and you know, Louis Gohmert and some of these other ones that did it and went down there but weren't able to do anything. I'm going to take the Secret Service or the U.S. Marshals with me. And as a congressman, if you deny me of meeting the people that I represent, then I will just turn around and say, I want this person arrested, which means that the warden or any other detention people that get in my way will be arrested immediately. I will remove those people away, and then I will go in, and I will sit down, and I will meet, and I will find out what kind of conditions. I already know what the kind of conditions they are because they're being. We have our own people being tortured in the gulag. And so I'm going down there for the specific reason, which is to represent our people, but I'm also going to see that. And if I have to stay, my first 2 or 3 days will be in the gulag with them to protect them from the very people that are torturing them in that prison. And stuff. And most people don't understand how important this is for them to know that if it's happening to these people here, it's only a matter of time before the government will turn on everybody else. And so they're just on the front lines. And my son is caught up into it. I'm a J6er myself. And so that is day one. That's the number one thing. I've got to go and get our J6ers, and we've got to get them out of prison.
Well, there's certainly a lot of very difficult issues with that, and they've, you know, the need to get that situation corrected, as well as, you know, the litigation against Trump and whatnot. That there's so many what's the hypocrisy and lies that we have seen in this country. It's just shocking and disturbing, and one of the things that we really have to see is that people, you know, understand the importance of honesty and whatnot. So, so you know, we're looking forward to having you speak at one of the PAC lunches coming up next month. And tell me just a little bit before we wrap up here today that you had a fascinating career with the NCAA.
I do. I was a NCAA basketball official for 18 years. Was able to run them down a basketball court and, you know, have the best seat in the house and get paid to do it. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And as I always tell everybody, it's easy to be an NCAA basketball official. It's hard to stay one. And so, you know, the fact that I was able to call college basketball for 18 years, I was very blessed, and was able to stay in very good shape. And I just had a lot of fun. It was something that I enjoyed, and I got to have some really good times and see a lot of places that I wouldn't normally have gotten to see because of it.
Well, that's pretty fascinating. So, Jeff, I know you want to get back into the meeting with J.D. Vance, and I just appreciate you stepping out today and talking with us on Save America Now. And we wish you well with the campaign. I know you're doing a lot of the basic door-to-door kinds of issues. If somebody wanted to contribute to your campaign, what kinds of things would you what would you recommend?
You can go to Think Zinc, and so my last name is Z as in zebra, I-N-K, so go thinkzinc.vote, and that takes you to my website. You can click on the donation page there and donate to my campaign, and, you know, the thing is that what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to change and bring back the Christian values. And what I always tell everybody is that I'm going to take the Bible and the Constitution to Washington, D.C., not to be rewritten, but it's to be reread. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to educate the people that are actually representing the people, and let's return back to the godly principles that the Bible gives us, which also, in turn, our founding fathers took Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and that is where they devise our federal government that we have today. And one of the things that people need to understand is that when Benjamin Franklin was asked, "What did you give us?" His reply was a republic, if you can keep it. And right now we're fighting to keep it, and that's what we need.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. And if you get to say hello to J.D. Vance, do that for us. I'd love to have him on the program. He is heading to San Diego, I think, after the Arizona trip, and is going to be here Thursday and Friday. So anyhow, okay. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you more down the road here. Thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, and thank you for having me on your show. And it's going to be great. Carrie Lake is actually on stage right now speaking, and as we speak right now, I see J.D. Vance driving up. So his team is coming in, and they're going to be having him here in the area in just a few seconds.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening today to Jeff Zink, who is running for a very critical District 3 in right in downtown Phoenix, right there where the Sky Harbor Airport is and the surrounding area. So we encourage you to check out his website. You know, he said something at the end that's very critical, and that is when somebody asked Ben Franklin what kind of government did we get out of the Constitutional Convention, and he said, well, you got a constitutional republic if you can keep it. And people don't realize the if is a big if, and what it implies is action, that freedom in our constitutional republic is not here in some permanent manner. You actually have to fight for it. You have to fight for your freedom every day. We see that in the military battles and whatnot, but I'm not certain Americans as a rule, understand the fluid, dynamic nature of what we have here. There are forces that continually want to, kind of like cyber security, cyber issues, continually want to invade and turn this country from what it is. And you know, I've traveled to 65 countries in my lifetime, and I have to tell you that, including several communist countries, there's nothing like coming back to coastal California, to be honest with you, weather-wise and whatnot. But I also would say that I would not necessarily, while these are very interesting places to visit, and I've had to get more than one passport with all the stamps, but I would also say that we have a very precious organization here in the United States, and you know, we have a constitutional republic, and people love talking about democracy. But technically, we don't have a democracy. We have a republic, thank goodness, because our rights are preserved by a written document, a constitution. While we use certain democratic mechanisms within the republic, such as voting, which we must do, we still have a judicial system that looks to the Constitution. And thankfully, our Supreme Court has now returned to being a constitutionalist-based court, in which people have rights and they try to get back to what is the truth and the underlying purpose of the United States Constitution. So a little lesson here, make sure you understand that when people talk about the United States being a democracy, correct them and say, yes, we have some democratic mechanisms, but fundamentally we're a constitutional republic. So, you know, we'd love to have you support the Save America Now PAC. You can Google that, and it's easy to donate. You'll see our podcasts now are on the website, so you can go back and listen to these programs. If you've enjoyed these, I think it's a great opportunity to learn a lot. We have some great speakers. We have some phenomenal speakers coming up in later this month that I think you will enjoy. But we focus on sanctity of life, the importance of religious liberty and private property and capitalism. And those, within the Christian biblical framework is what really provides us a country and a opportunity to live in an environment where you don't wake up and fear totalitarianism, where you have the opportunity to benefit from the fruits of your labors, but also to freely contribute and be charitable to those that are in need. And I just encourage folks to do that. Well, you've been listening to Biblical Citizenship Alive today, and we look forward to hearing from you through the website. And also feel free to tune in. We actually are on the air live every Sunday right after church. It's church drive time, and it's really an opportunity to learn more. We've covered a lot of different speakers, and my co-host will be on here soon to help. She and her husband are very involved in one of the northern suburbs of San Diego, involved in running for school boards and whatnot, and we want to learn more about them. But thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned for another great program.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.
Read your Bible every day and listen to us. K-Praise, KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway.
K29CR, Encinitas.
FM 106.1 North County and AM 1210, San Diego.
This is Carol Platt-Liebau for townhall.com. Last week, Kamala Harris met the press for the first time since being anointed her party's nominee. If you can call a gentle 18-minute, heavily edited interview with her running mate actually meeting the press. It's clear why Harris is so reluctant to take questions from the media. She isn't good at thinking on her feet and has a tenuous grasp of policy. She's deeply insecure and lacks self-confidence. But when Harris won't talk to the press, she's not just disrespecting them. She's disrespecting us. Kamala Harris owes Americans a straightforward explanation of her views and why she's changed them. We're entitled to know where she wants to lead our country and why. The press is on Harris's side. She may figure she can get away with hiding. But if she keeps doing it, Americans are right to conclude it's because she's got something to hide. I'm Carol Platt-Liebau.
I'm Jonathan McKee, and you're listening to Plugged In on K-Praise. What age should our kids own their first smartphone? It's a question I'm asked frequently, and a brand new study about smartphone ownership provides us with a sobering truth that'll help with that decision. The study asked young adults about their mental health, then correlated their responses with the age that they got their first smartphone or tablet. The results were clear. The younger the age of getting their first smartphone, the worse the mental health they reported in young adulthood years later. This report is consistent with other recent research, and the recommendations are similar. Don't rush putting a smartphone in your kid's hands. Delay social media till high school and limit it to just 1 or 2 hours a day. And if you did give your kids devices, whatever you do, keep them out of the bedrooms at night. For more about those screens in your kids' pockets, visit us at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Jonathan McKee, author of Parenting Generation Screen, with Focus on the Families, Plugged In.
You know, I'm all over social media. There's nothing inherently horrible in it unless I'm trying to meet my need for belonging there.
You know, we're wired for authentic relationships with other people and with God. Dr. Kathy Cook explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
The need for belonging is legitimate, and it's going to be met with true accountability, responsibility, intimacy, knowing each other, sharing values, sharing ideas, hanging out, iron sharpening iron. You know, I obviously love that verse. Social media is an add-on to that, and I think one of the reasons that it can create a loneliness is we can fake it to make it there. And so we flip our identity in different groups, and we flip our identity when we're posting about different things, and we see inconsistency in people. They're desperately trying to fit in and figure it out, and it breaks you, because you can't be all things to all people in that way, nor should you try to be.
Social media can be a great way to keep in touch, but don't let it become a replacement for real connections. More from Dr. Kathy at FamilyMinute.org.
9 grand off MSRP and zero down. Team Kia of El Cajon. Have a job clearing 450 per week? You're practically approved. Visit teamkiaofelcajon.com. On approved credit, not all will qualify. Tax, title, license, and $150 title and registration processing fee. EVs, Kia Cash, dealer discount through KMF.